flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon and welcome to Right at Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris. And, you know, this show is all about our homes. And as a senior home consultant with Mosby Building Arts, I talk to clients daily about how to make their homes more comfortable. And with everything in the news right now, with a lot going on, a lot of us might be spending more time in our homes in the coming weeks, more time than we're used to anyhow. So let's talk about that a little bit. If you have any questions and or suggestions about how to make your home more comfortable, if you need to spend a significant amount of time there, give us a call. The number you need, 314-241-9797. Or 866-455-9797. You can call about that, or you can call with any questions that you may have about your home. So along with being comfortable in your home, we plan to help you with figuring out when to hire a company instead of DIY, understanding how to choose new windows. We got some tips for planning the perfect storage areas, tips for to make a small bathroom better. Those are always really good tips. And of course, my right at home hack in the middle of the show. So stay tuned for all of that. But today, I am here today with a special first time guest from Mosby Building Arts. He's a lead remodeler with our company. Rich Matthews is with me. So you can give us both a call today. So today we have two home experts for the price of one, and free. How's free? You know, a free home expert is awesome. Dos Cuervos,
exactly.
Home experts is even better. So feel free to give us a call. We'll get your questions answered. 314-241-9797. Until then, I'd like to introduce Rich Matthews. How you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Very well. Hey, thanks for coming on. Because, you know, I talk so much about Mosby Building Arts and what we do, and how we do it. But the significance of the field is so important to what we do and how you guys do it and how you get through it. And, you know, when you talk about the best service in St. Louis, all these different things, that actually has to be lived out. It has to be actually produced, and it has to actually happen to get people to love it back again and all the things that we do here at Mosby. So I know you're a little newer here at Mosby, which is awesome. Hey, you know, congratulations. You joined a wonderful team. I could definitely tell you that. I've been here over 18 years, so it's a wonderful place to be. But just to kind of start off, tell me a little bit about yourself. Are you from St. Louis area? Or
I'm from the Central Illinois area, so okay. I moved down here a couple of years ago. Basically, I'm a third-generation remodeler and builder. My grandfather started a business way back in the 50s, so I've grew up around it all of my life, seen a lot of different changes in the industry. But, I mean, it's part of my life. It's something I enjoy. I enjoy making people's homes better. Mosby is a great fit for me because that is their main priority, is great service. I like giving people what they need and what they want out of life.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, you know, it is definitely one of the things that, you know, we focus so strongly here, you know, at Mosby. And, you know, basically, I've had a lot of people when I talk about like vision and mission statements and how do you, you know, how else do you promote something through a large organization with a lot of, you know, over 100 people, stuff like that. So when you look at like our mission to enhance lives and homes by relentlessly outperforming expectations for the home remodeling industry, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, I've never worked. I worked kind of like you. I worked with my father for years. I worked at a ton of different other companies before coming to Mosby. This is definitely the first one that had a vision and mission statement. Mm-hmm. Definitely the first one that talks about how do we do things better? How do we stay on top of our game? You know, how do we just get through this in the absolute, you know, best way possible, and get that through everybody? So it's really, you know, awesome thing to do, and just a great place to be for us, the workers, and our clients for sure. So, but you've just started like last October, last fall. Mm-hmm. So a little bit newer, but explain your position as a lead remodeler. What are your daily functions and what are you kind of doing to help out our clients?
So as the lead, I'm your on-site face every day. I'm the smiling face you get to deal with every single day. I'm kind of the constant in the whole process. It's like the conductor of a train, I guess. Keep it going steady and, you know, control things. Keep it on the tracks. Keep personnel, materials, everything in order. The job site clean and safe. Cleanliness is a big deal for us. So,
yes, absolutely. I love our, you know, in talking about how we grow and advance and change things. So, you know, back when I was a project manager, we were buying up and had all these air filter machines that literally just sucked air in, put it through a filter, and pushed air right back out into the room. And now, you know, today, it was probably 5-6 years ago or so, maybe 7 years ago, they introduced to all of us, because being such a large, you know, company too, and a lot of people, how do you get this information through to everybody? You know, they literally brought one of these machines to us that you guys were using and kind of displayed it and showed it and explained what it did. And, you know, so now there's a hose on that can literally go outside. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wow, see, now that's totally effective, because anything that does escape literally gets to escape outside. And so I remember when I was running a job as a project manager for Mosby, and we were doing a kitchen, and I had everything quarantined, and I had my little filter machine in there and everything. And the maid, the house cleaning crew that came like once a week, one gal kind of unzipped the zipper and poked her head in to take a look around. And she literally said to me, she said, wow, you know, this is the cleanest house under construction that I have ever cleaned. And, you know, as we're doing all this work, we're trying to, you know, quarantine all that, keep it contained. Well, now you've got the thing blowing outside. It's just negative pressure.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Sucks it all in, blows it outside. It's got to be even better, which is great because you can't control it all. You're never going to.
No, you can't.
100%, it's just not going to work. You're going to have to walk out. You're going to have to undo the zipper. You're going to pass through. Things are going to happen. But, you know, it's about doing the best that we can and training, you know, the best that we can through the company. So, want to thank you again. We'll have plenty to talk about all through right. the next hour. Want to remind everybody, feel free to give us a call, 314-241-9797. We're going to take our first break and more when we return. All right, we are back. We are live here. We got this hour till 1 o'clock. So join us on the conversation. Let's talk about making your home a better place to be if you get stuck there for a while, or, you know, any questions you might have about that, or any questions you might have about remodeling your house or anything to do or that you've noticed about your home. Feel free to give us a shout, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. So this is something I wanted to definitely touch on with the coronavirus, the outbreak, all the stuff going on in the news. Have you ever been quarantined in your house for 2 straight weeks?
No, I haven't, but it seems like... that would be a miserable situation. I can't even imagine it, and I hope it doesn't come to that, but we'll
see. Yeah, yeah. So I'm talking, I'm going around, I meet people, I talk to people all the time about, you know, making their kitchen better, making their bathrooms a room addition, more space, you know, how to be more comfortable in your home. I talk about aging in place and, you know, how to get around and stay there for a long time and what to think about for the future, but I don't know that I've ever honestly really thought about what if you just had to be here for 2 or 3 straight weeks, can't leave, quarantined in your home. How do you, you know, what do you do? You know, how do you handle that? I mean, everybody I deal with, you know, we talk about making something better for what they do, but they get to go out to dinner, they go shopping, they right. go to the mall, they go to work, they do. So this is incremental time between all these events. And of course, you know, I've been quarantined with the flu for a couple, 2 or 3 days or something, and, you know, not too terrible. But, you know, so when we think about what would you do if you did have to be, you know, quarantined in your home like that, how would you make it more comfortable? You know, what would you do? And you know, some suggestions that we would have. And it's pretty similar to the things that I suggest all the time is, you know, what are the activities that you're doing? You just need, you know, more time of them. But, you know, setting up a home office or a school space if needed. So like schools are starting to shut down.
Right.
My son's college, literally, we were on spring break. They sent him an email. They said, don't come back. If you don't live on campus, do not come back to this campus. They're shutting it down. For like 2 or 3 weeks after spring break, they're going to do everything virtual and everything online, and they're switching to online courses and all this stuff to just, you know, keep all those gatherings apart and try and slow this thing down. So, you know, so now thinking about my office space, you know, might become some of his school space that right. he's at home more for it. So think about how you set that up.
Well, and even... Not counting the coronavirus thing, everybody is working remotely a lot more now. It's a lot more acceptable. A lot more companies are doing that. So, I mean, if your home didn't have an office, it may be something you're needing anyway. Not even counting all this other stuff that's going on. This just kind of puts that thought in our head a little bit quicker, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And my son is actually graduating. He got a job, and he went there for a tour and everything on Friday, and they explained to him how they're basically 75% of their staff is no longer working at the office. They're right. all broke out and went home. And it's true that this is just what people are doing. I actually have, off the top of my head, I can think of 3 clients of mine that we've done work for that 2 of them work in California and 1 works in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And they have houses here. They live here. They're here for... you know, 3 weeks and there for 1 week and back and forth, and they work from home
right
all the time. It's just their job. I'm like, so you live in California? What is this?
It's getting a lot more common. I mean, and so that makes something that used to be a luxury, a home office, it's getting to where it's more of a requirement.
Yeah.
So that's something that needs to be thought of in a remodel, because as it becomes more common, the next person that may buy your house, that might be a necessity for them. So that's something you consider if you're doing a large remodel.
Yeah, absolutely. And so one of the other suggestions, seems like a simple one, but, you know, getting to know your neighbors, you know, just in case you need some help in some way or you need. So right now, I mean, with the shopping, nothing on the shelf.
Right.
You can't, you know, if you do end up having to stay there for a while, you might need somebody to try and track you down some toilet paper and throw it on your front porch. You know, make sure you think of these things and you have these things kind of pre-set up as a just in case, you know, would you be my backup or, you know, things like that. But then another one would be, and this is something that my family's actually, we've been doing for years, is choosing a room, and it's kind of the sick room. You know, someone gets a flu, and unfortunately for me, that room is my bedroom.
Oh.
So, yeah, it makes it a little, but to me, it's like, yep, put them in there. I'm going somewhere else. You know, we got a spare room. Keep them in that area. And it works well for us where we have it because we've got a story and a half home. So my, you know, master is on the first floor, and there's a master bathroom right with it, but there's also, you know, think about this, everybody. There's a door to the deck.
Oh.
So there's a door to the deck off the kitchen and my bedroom. So you can walk outside, get some fresh air, and not have to go through the hall, the living room, the kitchen, right, all these areas to get some fresh air. And that's one of the things that we really actually didn't think about it when we were buying the home. But once you're the person back there with the flu, it actually becomes kind of nice.
That's a great idea.
To be able to step out.
Yeah, and it's a lot easier to keep everything sanitized in a confined area instead of worrying about the whole house.
So, yeah, I shut the door. I'll be upstairs in a spare bedroom. Keep her or him in there for as long as they need to be. I'll be fine. Grab my clothes, get them out of there. But, you know, it is, you know, it's like quarantined in the house, you know, to keep the rest of the house, you know, protected and everything. So, but some of the things that, you know, they kind of advise in situations like this is really creating a household plan of action, you know, is really what they're going to recommend for right now. So think about it right now. You don't, this, if it's not affecting you and it's not affecting your home, but think about what if it does, you know, it's kind of like the fire escape emergency plan for that. You know, we've got a ladder in my son's bedroom, flips out the window. They can get out from the second floor. We plan a meeting spot, you know, outside, go to the neighbor's mailbox on this side, and we'll all meet there and make sure we're there, stuff like that. Well, plan for this the same way. Just think about it. So, you know, my wife's been kind of talking with her parents about things and saying, you know, what about this, that, and just really thinking, you know, so some of the things you should probably include in your plan is, you know, just think about what you would need. Talk to everybody. So there's four of us in my house. So, you know, we need to kind of talk to everybody and say, all right, if we were here and we couldn't leave for 2 weeks, what would you need? You know, and start thinking about trying to get some of those things and talk to each person on what would help them out, you know, right by our office. Is, you know, on the other side of us is the puzzle warehouse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what? Grab a couple puzzles if you like puzzles.
Great idea.
Just have them in your house ready to go.
Exactly.
You know, because you may end up totally needing it. So, but, you know, looking at, you know, identifying some organizations in your community, know who they are, know who you might call, emergency contact list, have that sort of stuff ready to go. And just think about, you know, those things so that you're just not all of a sudden it's thrust upon you and you're just not prepared, you know.
Good
An ounce
thoughts.
Of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It goes far in every case. So we got to get to a break here, but feel free to join the conversation. Get on the call. Ask us any questions you might have about your home. 314-241-9797. All right, we are back, and time for my ride at home with Hack. I want to welcome Facebook Live into this. And so with everything going on with the coronavirus pandemic right now, all the store shelves bare of disinfectant wipes, cleaners, hand sanitizers, I thought it would be a good reminder to make sure that, you know, these products that people are buying up, are you using them properly? Have you really read the instructions? So there's some disinfectant tips here that if you actually, and I invite everybody, read the instructions on what you purchase. So disinfectants are meant to actually kill microscopic organisms, as they claim. So when the label says it kills up to 99.9% of germs, it can only be effective when it's used correctly. So a few example here, Lysol disinfectant wipes tell you to allow the surface to remain wet for 10 minutes and let it air dry. So don't wipe it off again after you wipe with the disinfectants. Clorox Anywhere Hard Surface says let it stand for 2 minutes. Clorox Cleanup says 30 seconds. And Lysol Toilet Bowl Cleaner with Bleach says let it sit for 5 minutes when you use that product. So, you know, ask yourself, what are you looking to do with cleaners? Are you looking for, like, right now to really disinfect or just sanitize? Because there is a difference there in how you do that. And read the directions to make sure that it's working for you. So hopefully this is something that really eye-opener and gets you to pay attention to what you're doing in this hard time and keep things cleaned up right, and read the directions and make sure you're doing it properly. So so have you thought about that, Rich, when you're looking at stuff and cleaning up? I mean, because it's something we do in the industry a lot, is read the instructions and make sure you're doing it right, but we're getting paid for that.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, everything's designed to work a little differently and we don't even think about it. You know, you might just grab some bleach, splash it around and think that that's good. But like you said, things are tested to work a certain way. So it's important to read the instructions, make sure they work right. It's funny you mentioned that. Bringing up all of this, we always think about, you know, our toilets and everything, keeping them disinfected. But, you know, one of the kids just the other day asked if she could wipe down all the cabinet pulls. You know, that's something that I hadn't really even thought of that much, but everybody's got their hands on the cabinet pulls, so it's a good time to do that.
So. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I did a hack last year sometime about things to clean that you don't think about that really could use some disinfecting. And your car keys was the big that I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
yeah, me either. I was like, I went home and immediately cleaned my car keys that night. I'm like, okay, we should clean these babies up. Because, yeah, you just don't think about they come in and out of your pocket. They're in your hand. Your hand touches everything. Right. So, yeah, that's literally one of the dirtiest things that you have. Not necessarily mud and dirt like construction, but just disinfecting and viruses and different things like that. You touch everything and you touch your keys and, you know, so yeah, it was quite surprising.
And I guess taking that a step further, you've also got the steering wheel, the gear shift lever, and the door handle of the car. You know, those are things that we don't think need cleaned, you know, but now is the time to think about it, I guess.
Then now is definitely the time to think about it for sure. And hopefully you're able to find the supplies that you need. Because right now, yeah, there's limited supplies everywhere. The people have bought up everything. And it is very hard to come by some essential needs right now. So, keep looking. Keep your eyes open and get what you can, I guess. Yeah. While we're waiting for the phones here, and if anybody wants to get in on that conversation, one, what would you do in your home if you had to be there? How could you make it more comfortable for yourself? Or any questions around your house, feel free to give me, Rich and Rich here. We got Rich two Squared. Of us on the show. Yeah, Rich Squared or Dos Ricardos, as I like to say. Give us a shout, 314-241-9797, or from far away, if you're listening online, 866-455-9797. So I'd like to touch on, because this is also an interesting conversation we have quite a bit on, You know, when do you hire a company to do work for you? When is the DIY stuff, you know, a little bit too much for someone, you know, and that sort of thing. And there was some tips out there on, you know, when you start to get into some indicators on when should you start that. And the first one is really, if you have any type of architectural plans, you know, it's probably larger than life for you. So if you're getting ready to implement some architectural plans and build something, it is probably the time to really get a company, have them look at it, get some pricing, see
Definitely.
What it really takes to accomplish and get it done. And I do want to kind of warn everybody, too, is when you're getting architectural plans, thinking about the type of company that you want to do the work. I warn people all of the time when you think about, you know, architects kind of tend to do this sometimes. Real estate people, for sure. Insurance people, every time to the max, is they're all thinking about the cheapest way to do something, the cheapest company, the cheapest person, they're all, you know, well, insurance companies don't want to spend money. Mm-hmm. They make more money when they don't, and the least amount they could spend. Real estate agents are really hard on, you know, return on investment. You got to get something back out of it. You mm-hmm. can't spend that much because then you won't be worth that in the market and everything. And then you've got to think about, are you doing any of this for yourself to make it better for yourself? What kind of service, people, and project, you know, do you want to get done and do you want to have taken care of? So architects can tend to do the same thing because, you know, if there's companies that will work for a lot less and will try and get through it, and maybe they, you know, contract out every piece of the whole project to try and keep it down or whatever. Well, if architects are telling you, you know, a lot bigger number, well, then some people might kind of go, wait a minute, if a room addition really costs that, then don't bother drawing it for me. Mm, yeah. And I've looked at several room additions where I had one a year or so ago that this guy literally drew the Taj Mahal. Like, you know, people always joke about that. We don't need the Taj Mahal. Okay, well, this thing had a metal barreled ceiling inside the room. It had like three little balconies around it with the little black rails and the stair. It was all stone. It was, I mean, literally had, you know, a turret roof that comes to a point and everything. It was the Taj Mahal when I look at it. I'm like, wow, we are literally trying to build something like that. And, you know, they were a little astonished at what, you know, they thought it was going to cost. And it was a hard to get to thing. And that's another thing that, you know, a lot of times people don't pay attention to on the upfront part of planning something. All right, we are back, and time for my Ride at Home with Hack. I want to welcome Facebook Live into this. And so with everything going on with the coronavirus pandemic right now, all the store shelves bare of disinfectant wipes, cleaners, hand sanitizers, I thought it would be a good reminder to make sure that, you know, these products that people are buying up, are you using them properly? Have you really read the instructions? So there's some disinfectant tips here that if you actually, and I invite everybody, read the instructions on what you purchase. So disinfectants are meant to actually kill microscopic organisms, as they claim. So when the label says it kills up to 99.9% of germs, it can only be effective when it's used correctly. So a few example here, Lysol disinfectant wipes tell you to allow the surface to remain wet for 10 minutes and let it air dry. So don't wipe it off again after you wipe with the disinfectants. Clorox Anywhere hard surface says let it stand for 2 minutes. Clorox Cleanup says 30 seconds. And Lysol toilet bowl cleaner with bleach says let it sit for 5 minutes when you use that product. So, you know, ask yourself, what are you looking to do with cleaners? Are you looking for, like, right now to really disinfect or just sanitize? Because there is a difference there in how you do that. And read the directions to make sure that it's working for you. So hopefully this is something that really eye-opener and gets you to pay attention to what you're doing in this hard time and keep things cleaned up right and read the directions and make sure you're doing it properly. So so have you thought about that, Rich, when you're looking at stuff and cleaning up? I mean, because it's something we do in the industry a lot is read the instructions and make sure you're doing it right, but we're getting paid for that.
Exactly, yeah, and, you know, everything's designed to work a little differently, and we don't even think about it. You might just grab some bleach, splash it around, and think that that's good, but like you said, things are tested to work a certain way, so it's important to read the instructions, make sure they work right. It's funny you mentioned that. Bringing up all of this, we always think about, you know, our toilets and everything, keeping them disinfected, but you know, one of the kids just the other day asked if she could wipe down all the cabinet pulls. You know, that's something that I hadn't really even thought of that much, but everybody's got their hands on the cabinet pulls, so it's a good time to do that.
So. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I did a hack last year sometime about things to clean that you don't think about that really could use some disinfecting. And your car keys was the big one that I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
yeah, me either. I was like, I went home and immediately cleaned my car keys that night. I'm like, okay, we should clean these babies up. Because, yeah, you just don't think about they coming in and out of your pocket. They're in your hand. Your hand touches everything. Right. So, yeah, that's literally one of the dirtiest things that you have. Not necessarily mud and dirt like construction, but just disinfecting and viruses and different things like that. You touch everything and you touch your keys and, you know, so yeah, it was quite surprising.
And I guess taking that a step further, you've also got the steering wheel, the gear shift lever, and the door handle of the car. You know, those are things that we don't think need cleaned, you know, but now's the time to think about it, I guess.
Then now is definitely the time to think about it for sure. And hopefully you're able to find the supplies that you need. Because right now, yeah, there's limited supplies everywhere. The people have bought up everything. And it is very hard to come by some essential needs right now. So, keep looking, keep your eyes open and get what you can, I guess. Yeah. So I think... while we're waiting for the phones here, and if anybody wants to get in on that conversation, one, what would you do in your home if you had to be there? How could you make it more comfortable for yourself? Or any questions around your house, feel free to give me, Rich and Rich here. We got Rich two Squared. Of us on the show. Yeah, Rich Squared or Dos Ricardos, as I like to say. Give us a shout, 314-241-9797, or from far away, if you're listening online, 866-455-9797. So I'd like to touch on, because this is also an interesting conversation we have quite a bit on, you know, when do you hire a company to do work for you? When is the DIY stuff, you know, a little bit too much for someone, you know, and that sort of thing. And there was some tips out there on, you know, when you start to get into some indicators on when should you start that. And the first one is really, if you have any type of architectural plans, you know, it's probably larger than life for you. So if you're getting ready to implement some architectural plans and build something, it is probably the time to really get a company, have them look at it, get some pricing, see what it really takes to accomplish and get it done. And I do want to kind of warn everybody, too, is when you're getting architectural plans, thinking about the type of company that you want to do the work. I warn people all of the time when you think about, you know, architects kind of tend to do this sometimes. Real estate people, for sure. Insurance people, every time to the max, is they're all thinking about the cheapest way to do something, the cheapest company, the cheapest person. They're all, you know, well, insurance companies don't want to spend money. Mm-hmm. They make more money when they don't, and the least amount they could spend. Real estate agents are really hard on, you know, return on investment. You got to get something back out of it. You can't spend that much because then you won't be worth that in the market and everything. And then you've, you know, you've got to think about, are you doing any of this for yourself to make it better for yourself? What kind of service, people, and project, you know, do you want to get done and do you want to have taken care of? So architects can tend to do the same thing because, you know, if there's companies that will work for a lot less and will try and get through it, and maybe they, you know, contract out every piece of the whole project to try and keep it down or whatever. Well, if architects are telling you, you know, a lot bigger number, well, then some people might kind of go, wait a minute, if a room addition really costs that, then don't bother drawing it for me. Yeah. And I've looked at several room additions where I had one a year or so ago that this guy literally drew the Taj Mahal. Like, you know, people always joke about that. We don't need the Taj Mahal. Okay, well, this thing had a metal barreled ceiling inside the room. It had like three little balconies around it with the little black rails and the stair. It was all stone. It was, I mean, literally had, you know, a turret roof that comes to a point and everything. It was the Taj Mahal when I look at it. I'm like, wow, we are literally trying to build something like that. And, you know, they were a little astonished at what, you know, they thought it was going to cost. And it was a hard to get to thing. And that's another thing that, you know, a lot of times people don't pay attention to on the upfront part of planning something like that is where they drew the room addition. There was literally no access. This guy had the coolest yard ever. And we were going to have to go through like all sorts of bushes and flowers and sidewalks and just, you know, I mean, this was like, or consider going from the other street through like the neighbor's house and talk to them about, we're going to destroy your yard and put it back. And, you know, so it's like, think about the things that go into something like that. How do you do all of that? So when you're getting those architectural plans, you know, think about the next part of the process is you probably will definitely need a company.
Right.
You know, when you do that.
And also one point I want to bring up, you know, when someone has an expectation about what something is going to cost and then say it does come in higher, always remember those plans can change a little bit. So it's good to have a company that has designers and has architects that we can modify those plans a little bit. You know, we can adjust what we need to do to get it within their price budget, because that does happen a lot. You have somebody that has an idea and then somebody tells them, oh, it's going to cost X amount of dollars. Well, you know, those things can be modified. You don't have to stop right there. So.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't, with our process, you don't have to pay more for that.
Correct.
So you get architectural plans done, and then all of a sudden everybody's coming in saying, nope, this room addition is twice what you were hoping it was going to be. Well, now if you want to try and modify it to get it closer, you got to pay again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where with us, we're looking, the two things we're looking at is, one, we're always looking at price up front. What, you know, we do the building too, so we can realistically talk budget ranges that are very realistic. And we can work the design through that, and we can backpedal and redo and all of that stuff, so we can get you into a design for that budget range that we spoke about. You know, think about like shopping for a house. You want 10 things. Well, sometimes you end up with 7 of that 10, and it's a good deal for what you can find at that price point. So, but hey, we're going to get into a break here. So feel free to get in on our last segment coming up. Give us a call, 314-241-9797. All right, we are back. Final segment. If you have something for us, you have any question, maybe you want to find out about your home or remodeling your home, feel free to call in now. We've got plenty of time, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. So, Rich, let's get back a little bit to, you know, what you guys do in the field and how you do it and everything. So do you have a favorite type of project that you like to build?
I like construction. So, I mean, you know, kitchens are always fun. Bathrooms are a little small sometimes, so they can be, there are some challenges there, but, I'm a builder, so I like building. So I like seeing stuff come up from nothing. Start out with a bare spot in the grass out back, and it turns into a nice, beautiful space to expand your house. That's my favorite thing.
So. Yeah, no, you know what? I always enjoyed that, too, in the field as far as seeing something either completely transformed or just completely changed, mm-hmm. you know, how it is. And years ago, so I was a project manager. So for everybody out there that doesn't know, too, or any new listeners, so I was hired as a project manager over 18 years ago to run jobs, see them through, purchasing all the stuff to get the jobs built. And we had a really big interior remodel that we had done for a client. And about 3 or 4 years later, we came back and we put a room addition on the front of the house, and we completely mm-hmm. changed the look of the front of this house. And one of the other guys that had worked with us, that he didn't work here anymore, but he had worked with me on the original interior project. I was driving to that house, and he just saw me in my Mosby vehicle. And so he kind of follows me. We go down that street. I park in front of the house, and you know, Greg gets out, and we're like, oh, my gosh, haven't seen you in a year. Blah, you know, going. He's like, man, remember that house we did the inside of, you know, on this street? And I said, yeah. I said, we're at it. And he was like, yeah, no, we're not. No. He's looking up and down the street. This isn't the house. And I'm like, no, Greg, actually it is. This is the O'Neills, and we've totally redone the whole front of the house. And it was literally, you know, it was a hip roof, and it was no longer a hip roof. And wow. We built him a library with stone and all this stuff, and changed the whole entrance and everything to the house. You couldn't even recognize it. He was just like, wow, like he didn't know he was at that house.
That's great.
And that was one of the things I always loved, was something like that, where mm-hmm. you're just like, such a dramatic impact. It's really cool and really neat to see that happen, you know, and take place and everything. So one of the things that we did, talking about, you know, training the field and getting the field right and everything. So years ago when, and there's a newer example of this too, we can touch on, but so when I was, running jobs and everything, and we would do training, and I trained a lot of the project managers, you know, helped Tyler train a lot of the project mm-hmm. managers that we have today. I did a training episode about what they called the 4-hour house. And basically what it was is the Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest house ever built was 4 hours.
Wow.
And there was a thing where they were out to break that record and see if they could break it. And they actually, so what they did was they had two teams. They built two houses at once. So it was like two teams racing. Hmm. To see who got done first. And the planning, they showed like the schedule by the minute.
Wow.
Like this truck is here at 57. This electrician is here at 58. So they're coordinating, like building walls, and they're showing them, like, as they're building a wall on the ground, there's one electrician drilling holes. There's another one behind him pulling wires. There's another one. And they had inspections and everything. This was from concrete up. It was a slab home. And they poured the concrete, they put in the plumbing, they did everything. They were building all around. So the whole time, they're building a hip roof off to the side. Huh. So once the walls are up, they just pick the whole roof up, set it right down, get it connected. And the whole time they're walking around, they're inspecting, you know, making sure. Right. So there was inspectors in there the whole time, watching every step, checking, signing off on cards. And they one team's roof didn't drop perfect, and the other team's did. And they built this house in under 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know that I'd want to live in that house. But, you know, my training point was, if you can put a plan of attack together for a construction process that gets a house built in under 2 hours, even under four,
right,
it's quite amazing. Then you can do it for a week or a month mm-hmm. or 2 months or 6 months. I had some large projects that I ran where it was like 9 months.
Right.
You know, it was the whole house. It was everything about it. And you literally schedule that all the way through. So I commend you guys for.
I'm doing a whole house remodel right now, actually. So we've got that going on. You've got everything going on in every part of the house. So, yeah, but and that's where we go back to when you should hire a general contractor. You do something like that, trust me, you do not want to be the one handling it every day. You want a general contractor that does that all of the time.
Who forces the plumber to show up?
Exactly.
Right. How do you? Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and it's about relationships, too. It's
exactly.
about building relationships, having our trade partners that we, you know, work with all the time so that we have that good relationship so that we don't have to force them. They want to do it.
Right. And the other thing with you saying relationships, we have used our subcontractors, our plumbers, electricians. We have the reputation with them. We know they do a good job, do it well, and do it timely. If you're not hiring a general contractor and you get out there and try to do it all yourself, you have to do your due diligence and take a chance with every single one of those trades. That's why you need a general contractor that has all those resources available. It makes it a lot easier on you.
Yes, yes. And when you're after peace of mind, when you're after the service, you know, having your own employees, this is the biggest thing that Mosby has developed over the years and figured out is, when you're not getting great service in a particular part of the industry, have your own people that do that for mm-hmm. you so that you can control that service. You can control how they're doing it, why they're doing it, when they're doing it. And if somebody gets out sick or something happens, you can pull in other people. You mm-hmm. can, you know, when that happens with contractors, they can just kind of go away and just stop everything and slow it all down. And you just kind of run out of everything. And, you know, so that's why our, you know, on-time completion rating is so high and into the 90%, because we can control that process. Right. And again, it's like one of those few things that I never worked for a company that ever actually watched or monitored that or put a focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a huge focus on stuff like that here. So, but without you guys in the field and without you training and doing it right and having the focus and getting through it and having the employees to get through it, it's just all talk from my end.
All right. Well, thanks.
I really appreciate you coming on today. I want to remind everybody, if you want to check us out, you want to have me out, take a look at whatever project you have, you can call our office, 314-909-1800. We'd love to come out and take a look. And I will look forward to talking to everybody next week. Be good, and I'll talk to you then. All right, we are back. Final segment. If you have something for us, you have any question, maybe you want to find out about your home or remodeling your home, feel free to call in now. We've got plenty of time, 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797. So, Rich, let's get back a little bit to, you know, what you guys do in the field and how you do it and everything. So do you have a favorite type of project that you like to build?
I like construction. So, I mean, you know, kitchens are always fun. Bathrooms are a little small sometimes, so they can there are some challenges there, but, I'm a builder, so I like building. So, I like seeing stuff come up from nothing, start out with a bare spot in the grass out back and it turns into a nice beautiful space to expand your house. That's my favorite thing. So.
Yeah, no, and you know what? I always enjoyed that too in the field, as far as seeing something either completely transformed or just completely changed, mm-hmm. you know, how it is. And years ago, so I was a project manager. So for everybody out there that doesn't know too, or any new listeners. So I was hired as a project manager over 18 years ago to run jobs, see them through, purchasing all the stuff to get the jobs built. And we had a really big interior remodel that we had done for a client. And about 3 or 4 years later, we came back and we put a room addition on the front of the house, and we completely mm-hmm. changed the look of the front of this house. And one of the other guys that had worked with us, that he didn't work here anymore, but he had worked with me on the original interior project. I was driving to that house and he just saw me in my Mosby vehicle. And so he kind of follows me. We go down that street. I park in front of the house, and you know, Greg gets out, and we're like, oh my gosh, haven't seen you in a year, blah, you know, going. He's like, man, remember that house we did the inside of, you know, on this street? And I said, yeah. I said, we're at it. Huh. And he was like, yeah, no, we're not. We're no. He's looking up and down the street. This isn't the house. And I'm like, no, Greg, actually it is. This is the O'Neills, and we've totally redone the whole front of the house. And it was literally, you know, it was a hip roof, and it was no longer a hip roof. And wow. We built him a library with stone and all this stuff and changed the whole entrance and everything to the house. You couldn't even recognize it. He was just like, wow. Like, he didn't know he was at that house.
That's great.
That was one of the things I always loved, was something like that, where you're just like, such a dramatic impact. It's really cool and really neat to see that happen, you know, and take place and everything. So one of the things that we did, talking about, you know, training the field and getting the field right and everything. So years ago when, and there's a newer example of this too, we can touch on, but so when I was, running jobs and everything, and we would do training, and I trained a lot of the project managers, you know, helped Tyler train a lot of the project managers that we have today. I did a training episode about what they called the 4-hour house. And basically what it was is the Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest house ever built was 4 hours.
Wow.
And there was a thing where they were out to break that record and see if they could break it. And they actually, so what they did was they had two teams. They built two houses at once. So it was like two teams racing. Hmm. To see who got done first. And the planning, they showed like the schedule by the minute.
Wow.
Like, this truck is here at 57. This electrician is here at 58. So they're coordinating, like building walls, and they're showing them, like, as they're building a wall on the ground, there's one electrician drilling holes. There's another one behind him pulling wires. There's another one. And they had inspections and everything. This was from concrete up. It was a slab home. And they poured the concrete, they put in the plumbing, they did everything. They were building all around. So the whole time, they're building a hip roof off to the side. Huh. So once the walls are up, they just pick the whole roof up, set it right down, get it connected. And the whole time they're walking around, they're inspecting, you know, making sure. So there was inspectors in there the whole time, watching every step, checking, signing off on cards. And they one team's roof didn't drop perfect, and the other team's did. And they built this house in under 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't know that I'd want to live in that house. But, you know, my training point was, if you can put a plan of attack together for a construction process that gets a house built in under 2 hours, even under four,
right?
It's quite amazing. Then you can do it for a week or a month or 2 months or 6 months. I had some large projects that I ran where it was like 9 months.
Right.
You know, it was the whole house. It was everything about it. And you literally schedule that all the way through. So I commend you guys for...
I'm doing a whole house remodel right now, actually. So we've got that going on. You've got everything going on in every part of the house. So... Yeah, and that's where we go back to when you should hire a general contractor. You do something like that, trust me, you do not want to be the one handling it every day. You want a general contractor that does that all of the time.
Who forces the plumber to show up?
Exactly.
Right. How do you? Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and it's about relationships too. It's
exactly.
About building relationships, having our trade partners that we, you know, work with all the time, so that we have that good relationship, so that we don't have to force them. They want to do it.
Right. And the other thing with you saying relationships, we have used our subcontractors, our plumbers, electricians. We have the reputation with them. We know they do a good job, do it well, and do it timely. If you're not hiring a general contractor and you get out there and try to do it all yourself, you have to do your due diligence and take a chance with every single one of those trades. That's why you need a general contractor that has all those resources available. It makes it a lot easier on you.
Yes, yes. And when you're after peace of mind, when you're after the service, you know, having your own employees, this is the biggest thing that Mosby has developed over the years and figured out, is when you're not getting great service in a particular part of the industry, have your own people that do that for mm-hmm. you so that you can control that service. You can control how they're doing it, why they're doing it, when they're doing it. And if somebody gets out sick or something happens, you can pull in other people. You mm-hmm. can, you know, when that happens with contractors, they can just kind of go away and just stop everything and slow it all down. And you just kind of run out of everything. And, you know, so that's why our, you know, on-time completion rating is so high and into the 90%, because we can control that process. Right. And again, it's like one of those few things that I never worked for a company that ever actually watched or monitored that or put a focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a huge focus on stuff like that here. So, but without you guys in the field and without you training and doing it right and having the focus and getting through it and having the employees to get through it, it's just all talk from my end.
Right. Well, thanks.
I really appreciate you coming on today. I want to remind everybody, if you want to check us out, you want to have me out, take a look at whatever project you have, you can call our office, 314-909-1800. We'd love to come out and take a look. And I will look forward to talking to everybody next week. Be good, and I'll talk to you then.